This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 223 for Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. And joining me this week, as he often does on the third week of the month, Brock at Vola. Welcome, sir.
Yay. You've told everybody that I come on in the third week, so when I'm not here, now everyone's going to be like, what a lazy son of a gun. Why is he not here? What's his excuses? He knows what happens every third week, every third Wednesday.
Well, I've been checking with everybody this month because February has been a weird month. The first Wednesday was the first, so that everybody was on the show a week ahead of when they thought they were going to be, which was interesting. And I have the whole month sorted out as well. Phil Root is going to be on the show next week too, so that's something to look forward to as well.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Netflix shows, or the streaming shows, not necessarily just Netflix, but the streaming shows that we have tried to watch and that we've bailed on. So it's going to be a very ranty show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's the fun part of new technology.
Yeah.
Is the ability to quick binge or bail.
Bail. And that's the thing. I never used to. If I was watching a movie, whether I had downloaded it or rented it or whatever the means, I would always sit through it. And for whatever reason, possibly because there's just a million other things just at the end of the clicker, you know, on Netflix that I can just be just like, well, screw it. This is not entertaining. Or even if I'm not in the mood, like sometimes I've come back to things, but most of the time when I bail on something, I am out, with a capital out.
Yeah. I used to be a sufferer. It's in three phases. There are shows that I will try and continue to go through, and we'll get to some of that talk later. Just for, you know, like Smallville back in the day. I mean, we didn't have options when it was on, but I was going to watch Smallville till the very end. It didn't really matter, just because I had such a deep love for Superman, and I had actually grown quite fond of some of the characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then there are shows like I start to watch a bit of, and then I think I'm done with it, or maybe I just lose track of it, and then I keep coming back to it, and I feel like I wasn't going to bring it up specifically, but I have to. It's so ridiculous. The number of times I've come on your show and told you I'm watching Clone Wars is remarkable.
Yeah.
I started back up again, and that's tied also to some stuff that we recently did. I picked back up, but I essentially axed episode. I literally read episode synopsis of where I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as one started to sound interesting, that's where I started to watch. I just got to a point where I was like, you know, there's this really long show. There are plenty of other shows. Like in my head, I have a Rolodex of things I want to get to or get back to or rewatch or whatever. The idea, by the way, of rewatching anything, like how often have you said, man, that's a great series? And then like maybe a year goes by and you're like, I'd really love to rewatch that. I've told myself I'd like to rewatch through the entire run of Smallville like 8 times over the past decade or whenever it ended. And I still haven't, because the thought of like going back and rewatching something I've already seen versus thousands of more volumes of things that old, new, I've never seen, is just difficult, to the point where it's like, I don't even really want to buy books because I'm very nervous that I'll even crack them open again. Like, what's the point? Like, rewatching or reabsorbing something you love is very difficult unless it's in a specific form, like a movie or
lower time investment.
Yeah, exactly.
I rewatched Downton Abbey over the Christmas holidays, and I mean all of them.
I almost spit my water over my computer. Downton Abbey, Downton Abbey is Joel Duggan's rewatched program.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, for a couple of reasons. It was easily accessible on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's very Christmassy. Their big season ender specials are often holiday specials.
Right, yeah.
And it's, despite knowing what happens, despite knowing what characters end up where, it's just so well written. And I think I've even mentioned it on this show before when we were, recording in December that it was just such a nice breath from the crap writing that I was getting in some of the shows that I really wanted to like and wanted to follow, but just couldn't stomach at the time. The other thing that I find nice about rewatching things, I tend to watch things on my breaks, breakfast, dinner, and that's basically it. I might get a couple of extra episodes in on a Friday night as I relax and do nothing, but most of my weekday stuff, like I have an hour for each meal roughly that I'll watch something. So being able to get into a season of something that I like, it's awesome because I don't have to think about what I'm watching next. I'm simply watching the next episode of whatever season of whatever series. So in December when things are busy and there's holidays and all this stuff was going on, it was really nice to not have to think about, well, what am I going to do for dinner tonight? It's like, no, I'm going to watch episode 2 of season 3 and just keep on going. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff I find a relief. I think to go back about, and I'm sure Phil and I will touch on this next week too, but one of the reasons I think that, it's easy to bail on something that you don't like is that there are things that you can rewatch that are potentially right there that you do like. And you're like, well, this sucks. I tried to venture into something new. I made a decision to not watch something that I've already seen. And then I ended up not liking it and I returned. So I don't even remember the name of the show that I tried to watch this weekend. But ultimately, it reminded me of Batman v Superman. So I went back and watched that, which I don't even necessarily like. I mean, it's not a good movie, but I was in the mood for Superman. Uh-huh. And it's as the only Superman that I have right now. So that's what I got. I honestly thought about watching Man of Steel again, but I've seen that a number of times. And this was my third time seeing Batman v Superman. So,
Jesus goodness, Joel. This is so weird.
And then I saw the extended DVD cut when it came out. And so that's what I watched was the extended DVD cut. And that was, there was a good 3 or 4 months in between. Because I think the DVD came out this summer. No, it would have been the fall because the summer was when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm impressed. Color me impressed.
It usually goes by mood. Depending on what you're in the mood for, if you've got it, are you going to adventure into something new because you're in the mood for fantasy, but there's nothing, there's no fantasy accessible in terms of adventures? Or are you in the mood for sci-fi and there's a couple things new, but there's also, Star Wars. Force Awakens is sitting right on Netflix right now, and I am on purpose not watching it because I want to wait until I eventually get a new TV. I feel like I don't want to watch that on a dinky little television. I want
to
go back and
watch that. I've been wanting to rewatch that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? So there's some things where I have watched them and I want to watch them again, but I'm holding off for a whole silly ream of reasons. But so I've tried to rewatch Smallville to go back to what you brought up about that series, and I don't know what it was. I think it was just access because I have the episodes, but they're on disc, and not DVD disc, like burned disc. It's not an easy thing to just kind of I'll just watch these. It's a cumbersome effort. If it was available on Netflix, you can bet your butt I would start watching that again.
Yeah, I think Smallville just got put on Hulu streaming. That is the truth though. Once a series I do love has access to streaming. I think I rewatched, what was the last thing I kind of rewatched? Well, I started to rewatch all Samurai Jack in preparation for the new Samurai Jack.
Yeah. Now that's something I would watch again. I would love to watch Samurai Jack. Yeah. I've only ever seen that once through.
It's just beautiful. It's quiet. It's got a lot of variety to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain episodes that when I start them again, I go, oh no, I'm just gonna skip this one. 'Cause I seen it the one time, I'm good. like, you know, series that are really good like that, definitely ones that are deeper. Although Samurai Jack was sort of an anomaly because it was a Cartoon Network show, but it has very interesting season overall episode numbers. It probably just was one of those that was like costly and also came in like mid-season, so it never really got on track. Like if you go back and look at like Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Lab, there were always like, you know, 26 episodes, 26, you know, like it was always set. But Samurai Jack was always like, I feel like it was like 18 or something, and there was only like 44, I want to say, for over four seasons for the first 44, was it? So anyway, but the new trailer came out for that one, which looks really interesting. And I'm not a huge fan of bearded long hair Jack, simply because I loved the fact that when he was all put together over the course of an episode, if things got bad, his hair would come down and he'd look scraggy. Like, I like that natural look of like clean, then becoming grungy, as opposed to starting off grungy and then you just get grungier. Like, I kind of like the disheveledness coming out. But for one, it looks pretty interesting. I'll have to A, rewatch the original series, and B, pay close attention, I guess, because I didn't notice any Aku. Also, I didn't necessarily hear it with sound. I think I just saw it without sound on the train. So I'm not quite sure if there was like some explanation as to these new figures that he appears to be fighting or whatnot. But
I think you definitely need to go back and watch it with sound. I'm pretty sure that I heard him, but I also really like the people that he's fighting. They're creepy kabuki.
Yeah, exactly.
They remind me of the Kubo and the Two Strings bad guys.
Which I still have not seen.
Oh, dude, you need to see that. You absolutely need. You and Laura would enjoy that.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That's a good chill out Saturday night, grab some peanut M&Ms and watch a movie sort of situation.
Absolutely. We would really love to see that. That's been on my list for a while. Five seasons of Samurai Jack. There's just a list of stuff. You know, it's an ever-growing or shrinking list depending on what I decide to look at. At one point, I used to be very diligent about my Netflix My List, and now whenever I look at it, I go, there's a whole bunch of things I would like to see or rewatch, but then I never end up picking it, and I end up picking up something that's not on my list, and it's like, this just goes to prove that theory of once you buy the book, you don't read the book. So, you know, like, once you've bought it, you feel the gratification of having absorbed it because you purchased it, but you didn't actually absorb it. So I have that problem. I think once I put a movie or a TV show on that list, I'm like, okay, it's on my list. So it's always there. But here's this flashy new thing that just popped up. And
I've got an issue too with having a wide range of interests. And I bookmark movies, but then I'm not always in the mood to watch them by myself.
Oh, you know, sure.
Like if there's a really cool art, I can't remember his name. He was in the Da Vinci Code. I think he was in The Professional.
Jean Reno?
I think so, yeah. There's an artsy French film that he was in, and it's about South France. And I saw the poster and read the premise on Netflix, and it sounded interesting. And then I went out to YouTube and I watched the trailer for it, and it looks beautiful. But it's just one of those things where, like, I don't want to watch this by myself. Like, I'd like to share that with somebody and then talk about it after. You know, like it feels like one of those movies that it's going to be a really cool experience. So I find that stuff like that is kind of frustrating when there's movies that are not necessarily things that I want to watch on my own. So I end up saving them, you know, for special occasions or some other time. And other times it's an absolute, you know, bookmark for like, oh, I was talking about this with this friend and I should. We should watch that together because we said that, oh, we both want to see that, you know, so that I'll make a mental note. It's like, well, the next time we hang out for dinner or, you know, we go do something, we'll say, hey, do you want to watch that? I can't think of whatever movie it was, but, you know, like just insert any of the kind of the latest releases where they're not necessarily like niche. Like I'd watch the superhero stuff on my own because I don't have a lot of friends around that really watch that stuff locally. Yeah, so, but when it comes to, like, just your average movies, you know, those are a lot more accessible. And I think that I remember what it was. Into the Woods, the musical about the fairy tales. I like that kind of stuff. But I also know somebody that's into theater and has seen the stage production and the movie and loved both. Yeah. And so I'd love to watch it with them because I like that stuff, but I'm not a nerd about that stuff. So having someone like that around would be a lot nicer, you know, to
or could ruin it, just depending on the type that likes to call out stuff.
Yeah, as long as I'm not one of those people. I don't talk during movies. I hate that.
Me neither, yeah.
No, but that's something that's nice about Netflix, though, and why I don't go to the theaters that much anymore, is that you can pause it and talk about stuff. I've done that with some intense, like Game of Thrones. Many times I've paused mid-show and talked about what's going on. Because you just have to. Like, something drastic just happens. So you just say, okay, pause.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have to talk about this now, or is it going to eat me up for the next 45 minutes? You know, like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. But, yeah. Anyway. So, speaking of all this Netflix stuff, it is winter. There's a lot of winter happening. A lot of people are inside reading books and watching television and movies. What have you been watching?
Well, on Netflix, there is a new show, as there is every week, I guess. I guess the Netflix formula is eventually going to be this. Every single week, they'll come out with a new entire series. And then you'll wait for that week a year from then, essentially. I think for the most part, most of the series have done that. Except for Master of None has not come back for a second season yet. Which I just imagine is just because Aziz Ansari is so
scheduled. What show is that? Master of None?
Master of None, Aziz Ansari's comedy.
Oh.
Really good. Like, I wasn't a huge Aziz Ansari fan. I'm actually right now watching through Parks and Rec for the first time for me, but my wife's seen Parks and Rec before. That's our bedtime show, so, you know, we go to sleep watching episodes she's seen so she can fall asleep. Doesn't matter. And then if I'm up a little bit later, then I'll just pound through episodes I've never seen before. And so Aziz Ansari is on that, and he's great, and he's an Indian American, and part of that, he's American, but his ethnicity is Indian, mm-hmm. and his folks are, I think, directly from India. They're like direct transplants and or immigrants, and part of the humor of the show is Aziz Ansari is playing like one of these struggling actors, and then he is trying to find his niche in like Hollywood or whatever. But some of the things they bring up are sort of funny. There was a whole episode essentially about how Indian people are depicted in American cinema or, you know, television. And him and another Indian American, both of them are just talking about how that's being depicted. And yet at the same time, this other guy is like eating it up, like playing into all the stereotypes so I can try and get this part, you know? So it's like this weird dichotomy of like people acknowledging that they're being used and in this way, and they're only being depicted this way. And then at the same time, like realizing for their career or whatever, they're going to have to yuck it up and essentially make a joke out of these things. And so it's a sort of social satire. It has a very indie feel to it. There's a lot of like, just conversations of people, and through the conversations you're kind of laughing at people talking as opposed to like set up boom joke kind of thing, which is very popular with the Netflix model. But that's good. And like Netflix keep pumping out all these things, and then so out of nowhere like these shows keep showing up, and Laura and I will just like, we watched the OA, and the OA was like really interesting and fascinating. I totally forgot about that. I gotta talk about that. That's really, really weird.
Yeah, that's one of the shows that I dropped.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Well, I won't take that away because you're probably going to talk about that next week. But I would say from my point of view of the OA, had it not all been right there, and Laura and I essentially be caught up with everything, which is usually what we find now, is we take these shows, once we're caught up with everything that's on network television coming out weekly, and we've caught up on everything that we binge, then we have this essentially weekend time. Maybe there's a Friday night and a Saturday or over the course of a week or whatever, where we have some time and we're really just like, all right, let's just throw on something like you're saying with Downton Abbey. But in this case, it's something new. And had the OA not all just been there at that moment, I probably would not have continued with it. But we just like essentially by the third episode, we're pretty much going to watch it to the end. We were just like, all right, we're hooked. You know, you just keep going through it because as the binging takes place, you're already like halfway through the meal, you're not going to throw it out and all of a sudden order tacos. So, so we did that with the OA, and it was a good experience. But much like Stranger Things, I don't necessarily know that it needs a second season. It will get one, I think. And we all know Stranger Things is getting another season. Mm. But some of these, more and more, I'm feeling like, especially the ones that are so good, and they're so, they catch you by surprise or something. And I swear I'll get to the one I'm talking about. Santa Clarita Diet is the one we just finished, and it's got Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant, and you might not know his name, but you probably know Timothy Oliphant from Deadwood or Justified.
I know who Timothy Oliphant is. Yeah. I really like him actually as an actor. I've seen him in a couple of other things that was a surprise, where you watch an older movie and it was like before he was on Justified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you get to see kind of like the breadth of his acting. Lou has recommended this on the show before, actually, just last week. I haven't gotten around to starting it, but my sister's watching it, and she seems to really like it.
Yeah, it was really, it's really good. We got all the way through it. I was a little skeptical of it because it's similar to iZombie, if you're familiar with that show. Very similar premise. So I won't rehash too much of that since you guys have talked about it. But, I it was good, and I will say, like Stranger Things, like some of these other shows, like the OA or whatever, like when these shows are being in production and they know that they have so many episodes, you can write for the entirety of it, you can cast for the entirety of it, and you can, in some cases, you can really let the story breathe, or you can just kind of have your world and not have to worry about anything. And Santa Clarita Diet to me was kind of that ladder where it just was like, well, you know, like it just felt sort of hyper realistic, you know, characters not necessarily calling out the ridiculousness of situations, but like just very off the cuff humor to ridiculousness. But the ridiculousness is like the central plot of Drew Barrymore essentially becoming a semi zombie and having to deal with that in a very suburbanite demeanor, balanced by Timothy Oliphant's like pitch perfect, like absolutely loving and totally caring husband, who's also sort of like head scratching during the whole thing and sort of being what? Like, it is a great juxtaposition for him as an actor to take that part, and it's also great for the characters. And but it's one of those things where if it was on network television and they really had to flesh out, now again, it kind of ends. Santa Clarita Diet definitely doesn't end in a wrap-up situation. They're obviously aware that they're going to be doing another season. Mm. And watching this first season, I really was like, how is this going to go beyond whatever episodes they do? So I'm a little nervous that it's going to wear thin simply if they try to do it too long. Mm. And that's the thing with some of these series. If you're telling the story really quickly or well, and you've developed the world really great, unless you only have dropped like a small pin in a giant ocean, like most of the time you've absorbed everything you want in that series. It's great. It was fresh. And if you try and go back, you either lost some magic or you're stretching something too thin. And that happens a lot with network television. And it doesn't happen as often with these streaming shows or sometimes the HBO shows, I feel like, simply because the containment of the episodes and being able to map it out early. So it was interesting. I really liked Santa Clarita Diet. I'm nervous about at some point just like, well, you know, whatever. And that's the thing. If they dump another season, we'll probably watch it all the way through, even if it's terrible. But at some point, it's weird with the binging. I don't even know how I would drop off a binge show. I guess I just would never start the next season, or I would start one episode, see something, and then leave off from there. But I would give it a general thumbs up. I think it's a fun world, and at least it's dumb enough that you could throw it on the background, not pay super attention to it. And still get some laughs out of it. Pay attention to it. Enjoy yourself. So it's a good one, unlike something like the OA, where you really do have to sort of invest and actually pay attention to it. And if you're not into it, then it really isn't going to be something that you're going to want to, you know, progress through.
And that's the problem that I had with the OA, was that it was something you really had to focus on. And it wasn't an escape. Like it started, it was, at first it was like, okay, this is kind of weird and a little sad, but then it just got really creepy and started highlighting kind of like the horrible things about our society. And it was less sci-fi and fantasy and more just creepy serial killer type stuff. And I was like, nah, it's not really what I'm in the mood for. So I haven't bailed 100%. It's still on my list. I never seem to be in the mood to watch it. It's still there because I'm seeing all these people on Facebook saying how much they like it and how weird and wonderful it is. And I'm like, well, you know, sometimes weird is good and sometimes you have to power through. Like I remember being pretty slow with Jessica Jones, liking it in the end, but there was a point there where I was kind of getting ready to like, well, I don't know if this is really going to be the top of my must watch next, you know, sort of list. But I find I do give a lot of breadth to Netflix originals for all of the reasons that you outlined. You know, the writing is usually better. If they're planning on two seasons, they usually write for two seasons. If they're planning on one, or if they have no idea, then they usually are pretty concise with it. I started watching, we've talked about it on the show, and it wasn't until I saw, I think, part of the third episode of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. I started watching that, and that's one of those shows where it's good. I like it. I like the Douglas Adams brand of humor, so I like the ridiculousness of it. But it's a very intense show to watch. Not that it's edge of your seat suspense, but every character in that show is 1,000% frustrated all the time, which means they're basically shouting at each other the whole 45 minutes. So. Yeah. By the time you're done watching, you're just like, I can't binge it. I am not in the mood to watch another one after I finish an episode. It's just like, nope, okay, that was interesting. Yeah. I remember laughing, so I'm going to watch another one, but it's not going to be today. it's one of those weird things. And normally I have the reverse problem where it's like, oh, that was amazing. I'm going to watch the next one because it's right there. I probably shouldn't. I might have to go to work. I might have to go to bed, you know, but sometimes I find that things like that are just too accessible. A growly bear in the chat room is saying that the Santa Clarita Diet is very bingeable. Like it's very easy to kind of keep on watching and seeing what's going next. So it sounds, and between you and Lou from last week, it sounds like they've got kind of like, even though it's a bit of a, I don't want to say rehash, but it's, zombies are not new to anybody kind of that watches enough, you know, of these sci-fi fantasy shows. But it sounds like they've got an interesting take on it. And I'm glad to see something with some humor. Because a lot of the Netflix originals, with the exception of the Dirk Gently, that I've been seeing, are serious stuff. Like they tend to not be funny things. So it's cool to see that. All of this chat, you know, about Netflix originals has made me realize that I've not even looked up to see whether House of Cards is coming back or whether they're doing another
it
season.
Is
it like, it, I just I don't yeah. know when like I but I mean and that's a show I really enjoy. It's dark.
Oh, yeah.
It's not at all funny, but I really like that show. But I'm not on the edge of my seat waiting for when the next season comes out. Now, something that I have been impatiently waiting for has been the release of Iron Fist after watching the trailer last week or the week before.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I mean like, well, and it's because I think it's just, I like superhero stuff. I like the fantasy. I like the escape. I like that whole hero mythos. So knowing that there's something coming and that it's coming soon-ish, I'm finding I'm being a little bit impatient with that. Things like Daredevil, I like Daredevil, but I don't know when the next season of Daredevil is coming out. I guess it's maybe because I know Iron Fist is coming that I know that Daredevil isn't coming until after that. So, you know, I'm not being impatient because, like, well, it's not soon. So, whatever, put it out of your head, Joel. You know, don't think about it. Something that Growly Bear had mentioned in the chat room a little while ago, which I thought was an interesting kind of question, was, you know, what does Netflix call shows that are not canceled but are on, like, are in between releases? And I mean, you know, Sam had said hiatus. I had thought like in production, like, you know, because they're not released like regular television shows. Like you can totally binge an entire season. And that's, I think, part of the advantage and disadvantage of watching these things on Netflix is that, you know, you can binge everything, or even if you don't and watch it one a night, you're still done in a week and a half. And then, because it takes so long to make these shows, because they're done so well, you're looking at another year at least before the next one comes out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and now I think Netflix is doing well with some of the Marvel stuff because they've got these other characters that are coming out. Like, it seems to be about three times a year, you know, like Jessica Jones, you know, Luke Cage, Daredevil. Like, there just, there seems to be like every, you know, 3 or 4 months, there seems to be a drop. But if you're dealing with something like the Santa Clarita Diet, like after you're done that and they have it, you said, you know, a potential cliffhanger, like, are you frustrated that you've got to wait for Lord knows how long before you can watch the next season?
No, I mean, at this point, pretty much, I think we're just pretty much broken in. It's happened. I think I would say that's happened with, maybe that happened with like the second season of House of Cards, first and second season of House of Cards, you know, when we were, those were our first ones we were doing. Man in the High Castle, first time we saw it, kind of felt like that.
See, I don't even know. I don't even think I finished Man in the High Castle.
I mean, that's another one where it's like, on paper, we were interested, but not super like into it. And generally, it's hard because, again, it was all available. And because it was all available, it was just easy. We just sat there and we just went through it. And I think because of the pace of it, it's slower. So if you're going to just sit down and you can only watch one, that's one that I wouldn't recommend. I think saying create a diet is that way. You can just sit down and watch only one of those, you know. Some of the comedic ones, even some of the dramatic ones, like House of Cards, you want to move on. Just like when I was watching West Wing, I just wanted to like power through those. But they're meaty enough that you can kind of stop. I mean, the Marvel show should sort of be that same way. But there are certain ones where the tension is just, you know, they string you like Stranger Things is great because it does really feel like Stranger Things really felt like a great book because it would end the episodes would end like chapters where you'd kind of start wanting to read the next chapter before you went to bed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they would sit very well with sort of like a completed action for this chapter in some way. And so, I think that works in some shows and some shows it doesn't.
Yeah. I definitely felt like that way with House of Cards. House of Cards was one of those shows where I could watch three and have no intention of watching three, but definitely end up doing that on a Sunday night. I had the opposite problem with Man in the High Castle. I would be stopping it and looking at my watch and pausing the show going like, oh my God, it's only half over. Are you serious? Like, that show takes slow to a whole new level. I remember being really frustrated with the ending because that was one of those shows where I'd end up being on my phone or like I would lose interest in what was going on because the show just did not have the pace that appealed to me. But then I remember the last couple episodes really liking where they were taking it as far as, you know, the plot twists and the cliffhanger sort of situation. And I remember going, damn it, now I don't want to know what happens. But if the second season is as slow as the first, I'm going to be pissed off.
It's not.
Okay. I need to start looking for and checking out the Man in the High Castle. Cause that was one of those ones where I didn't get to it until after it was already out there. So I could watch all of them in a row if I wanted to, but that was one where I just was like, it was something that I watched after I had finished everything else. And I didn't have anything else to watch. I've been watching a little bit more network television. I've been trying to catch up and all caught up on Flash and Supergirl. And it's weird because the momentum that they try to maintain with shows like Flash, they get like three seasons into coming back after being off for like 6 or 8 weeks over Christmas. And all of a sudden this week, it doesn't look like there's an episode unless they move nights. I'm not sure when it's on, but so I went looking for a new episode of Flash to watch before the show tonight, and I couldn't find one. So already that show is feeling a little bit, you know, disjointed as far as the pacing is concerned. But are you caught up on Flash and Supergirl? Because I'll go spoiler free if you haven't.
Yeah, no. I got through the giant crossover event, and I got all my shows up to that point, all four of them. Well, that's not true. I skipped Supergirl. I just went straight to the Supergirl, the episode right before the event.
Okay.
And then whatnot. And then I made a decision. And it's because of CW in general. My wife loves Jane the Virgin. We both watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I recommend both of those, by the way. I've seen both of them. I don't actually watch Jane the Virgin, but that is another fascinating, well-written show, well-acted show. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's great with the satire they bring up just about society, and also just the humor is great. And then, you know, I was watching all, or trying to watch all four of the superhero shows, and CW did something where one of their contracts expired, or they got mad or something, and they're not on Hulu. So my wife and I don't have cable. We don't download. We don't do any of that stuff. So,
right.
But we also don't have to, because we have Amazon Prime, we have access to HBO Go, we have Netflix, we have Hulu. It's like, if you're not on one of these four services that we actively pay for, then at this point, like, we're just never going to see you, I guess.
Right.
And as soon as CW pulled all their stuff, even though they were only saving like four episodes at a time on Hulu, so you would kind of have this relentless like sweat like pouring on your face when you're like, how many episodes am I behind? Oh, crap, I've lost one. Of CW shows, they're all gone. And so we had to download the app, but the app on the Xbox, there's no CW app on the PlayStation at all. It's on the Xbox. It's so slow. It would jank up. The commercials would like pause and then replay themselves.
Ugh.
And then on the phone, it plays a little bit better. But like at the same time, like I don't want to have to download, like ABC is trying to do this. ABC took a show off of Hulu we were trying to watch. And now when you sign in to ABC.com, you got to put in your provider, because all these shows are realizing, well, crap, we're giving away our content for free in other fashions, or we're not making money because, you know, we only have so much money coming in for Hulu. So we got to throw all these walls up. And in the end, in this culture, I feel like you're just going to get those shows left behind. So I made this choice, and I said, I watched the whole crossover thing. I think afterwards, I'm not going to watch Supergirl unless I know for a fact there's going to be things that I'm interested in watching in that show. Possibly the same for Legends. Arrow, I guess, at this point, I just got to keep hoping that it'll get back to what it is. And that's sort of the more Smallville of all of them. And Flash is the one that, even in bad episodes, I love the style and the charisma of that cast. And so I will watch it. But right now, I'm just going to wait till they all get dumped on Netflix. Netflix made a deal with CW, at least in the States, that as soon as seasons are over, they all get dumped, like a binge. So I have friends telling me, Flash is so good. Are you watching it? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to keep up or whatever. They're like, talking about season two. And I'm like, oh, wait, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, it just got on Netflix. I'm like, oh, well, I watched it when it was happening. And they're like, is that's real? I thought it was a Netflix show. So some people are even confused that these are on network television.
Yeah.
And they just wait for the season to get dumped, and then they're working through these seasons. And so as daunting as it's going to be, and I know it will be when I see, like, I have 13 episodes of Flash to watch and 14 of Arrow, God help me. And
you
maybe
can,
some.
Yeah, you can blow through episodes of Flash. I mean, you can be on your phone and still predict what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
My complaint with, I mean, I won't get into any of the details just because I know you like the show. And there has been some fun moments. Like, neither one of these shows are on my complete shit list, because there's still things that I really adore about them. But the Flash and even Supergirl to a point, but more so on the Flash, the writing has become so predictable. It's really kind of like, you know, they introduce the villain of the week in the first 15 minutes and you're just like, well, that person is dressed in black and there's spooky music, so I guess they're the bad guy. You know, like, and you're thinking like, well, they might surprise me. But no, they don't. And so stuff like that has been really kind of frustrating. And it's one of those, like I said, like there's some shows that I watch where I cannot be on my phone. My phone just is on the couch in case someone calls. But like, honestly, I'm vegging out and I'm enjoying just being sucked into a, you know, a different world. And with The Flash, though, like it's so, the writing has become just so unrealistic. Like it just, and that's saying something for a superhero show. Like I understand that we're talking about metahumans and dimensions and God and the Flash, how many different times they're gonna time travel, like just like all of these different things that completely cancel out stuff. But like,
yeah,
just sit and listen to the opening monologue of Flash post Christmas, and it is enough to make you roll your eyes. Like it's what? Oh wow. Okay. So and it's just like as soon as they solve one problem, there's another problem. Why? Because they're dealing with a time paradox, and that's the freaking shithole that they've written themselves into. Like, I really wish they hadn't touched time. I was cool with the multiple dimensions. I thought that was neat. I enjoyed the Flash Supergirl crossover. Fun stuff. But yeah, once you start messing with time and television, the problem is that it is endlessly complicated, and because they have an entire season to mess with it, they feel like they should. And
yeah,
really, sure, have a time thing happen and maybe have it reset or fix a problem, or you could use it to, you know, get yourself out of some really unfortunate situations in terms of where you've taken the show, but then just move on. But this whole time thing has been shadowing the Flash this entire season. It's the second thing out of every third character's mouth every 15 minutes, and it drives me crazy. They're definitely talking down to the audience, which sucks. Now, all of that aside, I still like Grant Gustin a lot. There has been some subtlety and some situations that are very taxing for him emotionally in the Flash in the show, and he's doing really, really well. It's 1 minute you're mad about this stupid plot, but then you're like, you get these little bits where you're like, wow, that was intense for the show. And stuff like that I find interesting. I could, on the flip side, I'm trying to remember his name, Draco Malfoy, the guy that plays
Tom Felton. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't stand him. He's a one note character. I'm not saying he's a one note actor, but the writing for him is abysmal. He says the same thing in 8 different ways whenever he opens his mouth. It's stupid. And I won't get into any of the other details just for spoiler stuff. But yeah, like, so stuff like that is just, I'm watching it because I want to know how it ends. And Flash seems to be at the center of the crossovers for Arrow and Supergirl and this other stuff. So for me, that's the one I'm going to follow along with Supergirl, where Legends and Arrow are just like, well, whatever. If I hear there's a really good episode, I will probably watch it. But beyond that, I've completely lost Arrow. Like, I have no interest in keeping up on that show. Now, Supergirl, on the flip side, does have the same writing issues as The Flash, but for whatever reason, Supergirl is just light enough and has enough of a... what's the word I'm looking for?
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Well, they have the right cast, and they have, I think maybe because of Supergirl being an alien and because of Martian Manhunter and stuff being in the show, they've opened things up to be just a little bit weirder. But it's still, you know, has a better mix of jokes, and they don't necessarily poke fun at themselves, but it's a lot funnier. Like, the characters are not as serious about stuff. And I think that's the problem, is that in Flash, there's all this stuff happening. And since the time shift, all of the humor in that show
has gone away. Ugh, that sucks.
And it's not gone away, but the characters are angry, but then they're still making jokes. But it doesn't make any sense, because what you need is the laughable sidekick to make the joke and have everybody roll their eyes. And now it's just like, angry side actor is making dad joke. And he's like, no, that's not even cool. You know, whereas in Supergirl, you know, you've still got the right nervous, Wynn is the character that seems to have a lot of that, you know, dialogue going on. You know, he gets over his head and starts to crack jokes because he's uncomfortable. You know, like, they take him to space and whatever. He's just like, I'm in space. And then it's like, yeah, you're in space. And that's a spaceship with lasers. And then, you know, so all of a sudden panic sets in, and like, joke's gone. Now he has to not die. You know, so stuff like that I find, you know, is cool. They're handling that kind of stuff in Supergirl a lot better. And I think again, it's because she's alien and there's alien technology and stuff. It becomes a lot more believable in that plot line. But the other thing I find now with Supergirl is that Barry seems to be always failing, where Supergirl seems to be really embracing her powers. When she goes out to do something, she'll use her strength, use her speed, use her laser vision. She uses her heat vision a lot. But she does it confidently. Like, there's no... If she screws up, she beats herself up over it later. But with Barry, the fastest man alive, there's a whole this doubt that happens before he does anything. It's just like, just go, hurry up. Fix the problem. Yeah. You know, like you're supposed to be zipping in and zipping out. And the Flash that I really like is the Flash from the cartoons, who is like cocky to a fault, because that's the humor. Like that becomes really, really fun. And you saw that when the Flash was kind of like popping into Arrow and stuff like that, and everybody's looking at him like he's the metahuman with superpowers, and he's like eating 4 sandwiches, and people are looking at him like he's inhuman, and stuff like that is awesome and fun. And they don't have that because there's this weight of the world on his shoulders, which is which is funny, because Supergirl would be usually the echelon of hero that would have that. But they've done some really nice things with Supergirl in terms of how confident she is, and at least in her superheroing, they do kind of a juxtaposition with how she is in her journalistic career, because that's new. Like she's never done that before. So
yeah.
And I mean, and I still have a crush on Melissa Benoist. Like I'll watch her in anything. So
right,
I have a soft spot there.
Yeah, the leads, the anchors, and the cast are really great. It's easy. The Flash takes on that role when he's in teams that Cisco does on The Flash. So when The Flash is the main character, it's hard. They have to give him pathos. The Flash has always, honestly, I think, been one of the more difficult characters. People say writing for Superman is difficult. And it's like, yeah, but the thing about Superman is that you've also built in to some degree some like silly weaknesses or this or that or whatever. The Flash is essentially, even if you go into the comics, very science-based. He does a lot of time traveling on his cosmic treadmill, and he just like friggin' jumps here and there, and there's all this stuff, and there was always like trying to justify like how if you vibrate really fast you can make the particles so you could run through shit, or you know, like you could make fake, you know, speed mirages because you're moving so fast you just see things, you know, like sort of always trying to justify all this stuff. And early on in the series, what was so great, I think, they blew through essentially what was 2 seasons, and very ambitiously in that first season. I thought they took on Reverse Flash, they took on Grodd. It was huge. These are huge things that you don't see, especially coming from people who are just seeing Arrow. Like, this is blowing up how the world's made. And now it's difficult. Flash is the older of the four. Now, Arrow's the oldest. It probably is the most long in the tooth. Flash is hitting that third season wall that Smallville, to me, like, hit like a friggin' ton of bricks. Mm. Like, where you're just like, oh my God, we just gotta make every, like, we really gotta give everybody, like, more, something deeper or harsher. And then you lose certain elements of stuff. And I think Supergirl's getting a bump because it's coming to the CW, so the writing and the acting and all that stuff is getting a slight little bit of juice because they're no longer under the wings of the corporate heads at CBS, and they can kind of spread out a bit more. But
yeah, but it's also getting that CW formula of like Supergirl is now a team show. Like
absolutely.
You know, it's because the Flash has got Kid Flash, and I can't remember Jesse Quick, and like there's all this in the HR needs to jump off a fucking bridge, like just all this stuff on that show that just is so outside of just the Flash. Not a fan of this.
Do you not like him? Do you not like this version of the character?
Drumstick guy. The guy that twirls. Like yeah. The him being the villain in the first season, spoilers, was cool. Like, I mean, I enjoyed that kind of dimensional.
You love the other alterations. This particular one, you're not a fan of.
This one is horrible.
Okay.
Good to know. Like, catch up on the show and let me know what you think, because there's no way that people actually enjoy him. But yeah, so Supergirl is suffering from like becoming like a team show. And the thing is, she doesn't need a team. Barry, sure, you know, like he does one thing fast, you know, but Supergirl doesn't really necessarily need, you know, an entire, like, basically Barry needs the support. Supergirl now just has a lot of people to make sure they don't die. Like,
yeah,
it's frustrating in that way. So I'm hoping that they get away from it. I really enjoyed, I want to say the last 2 episodes of Supergirl have been better than, I think there's been 3 or so, sorry, I've watched 4 cause I did not catch up before Christmas. So there's 1 pre-Christmas, another one, and then 3 post. So out of the four, I've enjoyed two of them more so than the others. But yeah, I agree that they, I don't know, they need to not, like, I wish that some of these shows would just go Netflix, because sometimes it would just be so much better.
Yeah, or just cut them in half. I mean, honestly, yeah. You cut the first season of Flash in half. It's two remarkably great seasons. Instead, you get one giant season. And then, in my opinion, I thought season two suffered the whole latter half.
Yeah.
And then made a tremendously annoying, horrible decision, which appears to be the case for season three, because it's rocked so much of what we loved about Flash.
Well, and the thing is, with all the villains and stuff in Flash that you mentioned that are cool, is that they seem to be, there's this endless loop of people coming back because there's infinite Earths and infinite dimensions, and all somebody needs to do is be able to get from one dimension to the one that we're watching, and like, hey, bad guy's back. It's like, well, didn't we take care of him already? It's like,
yeah, exactly. You
know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil who, but they're getting into some ridiculous stuff with Supergirl at the very, very end of this last episode, so I'm not looking forward to next week.
Macy has pig leg?
No, you guessed.
Yay, I did it. I did it.
It's such bullshit. God. I can't wait for
Mr. Macy has pig leg.
I'm going to be on that. I'm going to be on the phone for that one. I can tell you that. Well, that brings us into the Internet Minute for the show, which is brought to you by you at patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. You can support this show. So if you're liking the endless superhero discussion that Brockett and I are having and want more of that, or perhaps want to be able to write in and tell us to stop it, then go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe and become a patron. You can join the Slack chat once you're in there. It's a cool little community where people talk about all kinds of the same stuff in between shows. It's a lot of fun. So check that out and let us know what you think. I have a very short pick this week. It is called The Smart Flower. I am sure that it is also very expensive. It's a large piece of lawn equipment, but it is a solar panel. And the cool thing about it is that, much like a flower, it follows the sun throughout the day. It folds itself up and puts itself away at night and during high winds, and generates enough power to power your home. There's nothing in any of the literature that I've found to see how much it actually costs. It also is not a thing that you could put in a city lot, because it is rather large. I want to say it's probably about 16 feet tall. Where's that power output? I just had it in the article here. Can deliver between 3,400 and 6,200 kilowatts a year, which is quite a bit. I thought it was really neat. It's, as far as solar panels go, there's a lot of homes in my neighborhood that have been outfitting their roofs with solar panels, which only work really well if the roofs in these situations in my part of the world are facing south. but this, because it rotates and tilts, would take care of that. You just have to have enough space with, you know, no trees that are going to put it in shadow. To do it. And I thought it was really neat. And I would be curious to see if the company develops smaller versions. Something I want to say the size of a garbage can lid. Now, that's not going to power your home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I live in an apartment building, so I can't really augment, you know, my living space in that way. However, I have thought about looking into getting a small solar panel thing to put on my deck. My balcony, and then have the cord come inside and just maybe charge my mobile devices with it. You know, it's the kind of things that I use a lot, you know, like maybe make sure that the lights in the living room, or maybe my television in the living room, are plugged into that instead of, you know, the power coming in. And it's a neat idea. And I'm curious to see if there's anything else out there, you know, that's copycatting this, or that is taking this idea and then putting it into a smaller form factor. Because if you could get people to put them on balconies, or if you can get people to put them in, like, you know, three of them along the side of your house that look like garbage can lids, you know, would be pretty inconspicuous. It looks like a flower, so it's pretty. Like, it's an attractive piece of tech. And I'd be curious to see, you know, how that might be able to be adopted in an urban environment.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Anyway, it is called smartflower.com. The very cheesy video that they have on that website
Written by the writers of The Flash.
Yeah, we'll kind of give you a heads up. I've attached a link to ecobuildingpulse.com in the notes here, but that's not the article or the video that I first saw. I originally saw it on Tech Insider on Facebook, but because Facebook sucks, I can't find a link to that video directly without pointing you to my personal profile. So if you follow me on Facebook, then go check it out. I posted it today, or I shared it today. But clicking to Tech Insider just takes you to the Tech Insider page, and they post so much stuff. Like, I scrolled for 5 minutes before the show and I couldn't find it anywhere. So there's no context in the video as to when it was posted. Like, there's no date, nothing. So I have no idea how to actually find that again outside of like looking at my Facebook page. But anyway, if you can do a Google search for Smart Flower, you'll find the website right away. And hopefully there might be some stuff on YouTube. I'm sure Tech Insider has probably posted something somewhere. But anyway, it's pretty neat. I think it was really cool. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show, tell us how much you love The Flash at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. And hey, don't forget to give us some iTunes reviews. It's one of the best ways for the show to reach some new listeners. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am up to online at joelduggan.com. You can also follow me by name on Twitter and Instagram. And oh, hey, a certain book that I've been working on for months under Forge Publishing, it's done. We finished the design of the inside of the book today. Piper and I are working on closing up the design of the cover. We're getting some specs in from the printer. Probably as I speak, my email is getting some replies as to some dimensions for the cover and the dust cover. But and that's really almost illustrated. We're just kind of fine tuning, choosing some colors for like the actual wrap of the book and designing the spine of the book. And all of these things you can't do until you have a final page count. So now that that's locked, we're going to be moving through the rest of this pretty quickly. So it's exciting. I'm happy that it's nice to have that check marks in the done column for that book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brockett, where can people find your stuff online?
Oh, well, you can try it. You can look up biggestfanpodcast.com, or I'm on hiatus pretty much for the time being. I have some things that I would like to talk about, but it's scheduling, and I just came back from Disney World, and I got sick, so... you know, there's always excuses. Look, I'm telling you, I'm going to blame this. No, I'm not going to be political. Whatever. Biggest Fan Podcast. Just you can check it out. There's some old episodes still up. And when there's new ones, I'm sure I'll tell you all about it.
I had every intention of asking you about Disney, but I completely, like, once our conversation got going, I was like, well, I don't want to derail this and start talking about Disney.
Oh, dude, so it's
next
totally
time,
cool.
Next time.
I won't brag all over you. Nice. And actually, I will say Kyle Ferguson, a longtime co-host, a biggest fan, should be joining me again sometime. We're going to record an actual theme parks episode. We're going to talk about Disney World.
Oh,
so
fine.
That should be a tease, but who knows when that will come. So just look for that.
You should reach out to Lou Page and do an episode on the Santa Clarita diet. I'm sure he's through it by now.
I've thought about at this point, I'm like, man, you know what? As soon as I'm done with something, I should just grab a person, sit them down for an hour and talk about it. Cause otherwise it never gets scheduled. Like I need yeah. somebody to do that for me. I'm so lazy. I'm terrible. And exhausted, yeah. Joel. Exhaustion.
As someone that does the scheduling and that side of the production for Comics Coast to Coast, I hear you. It is like you schedule like three or four guests and you feel super proud. You're like, yes, done. And then you're just like, crap, that was the last guest. I don't know who's on next week. Shit. Yeah,
exactly. You burned through so yeah, fast.
It's like, how did that month go by? Luckily with Comics Coast to Coast, we schedule off weeks to give ourselves a breather. And usually what I do is I take the time I would normally record that show and I batch email and invite the people that we've been kind of bookmarking over the last few weeks. So there's no show, there's no Comics Coast to Coast tomorrow. And then the following week, we have, John Kovalik, who is the cartoonist from the Munchkin board games on, and it's always fun. He's a veteran. He's been on the show three or four times, I think, or this will be his fourth. I can't remember. We've had him on a number of times to talk about Dork Tower, and he does some cool charity work, and it's always really fun to talk to John.
Great.
You have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap. You can only pick two.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.